My grandmother used to pray before every meal. Actually, she used to pray before she would eat anything. Snack in the afternoon? Prayer. Popcorn at a movie? Prayer. Is that overkill? It's got me wondering, how often am I supposed to pray? I mean, I pray at dinner, usually, and before bed. And I guess if something really bad happens. But is that enough? Are there rules on this? When am I supposed to pray?
You know, when Pastor Brian asked me to preach this morning, I got really excited. And one of the reasons is because I love to preach. I love to preach on a very limited basis. Let's put it to you that way. And plus, the sermon series is on prayer, right? And that's so important in our life of faith and hope with Jesus. And I get to do the chapter this morning on when. When do we pray? And I can make this sermon really, really short, really, really short, by just quoting the Apostle Paul this morning, because the answer to the question about when do we need to pray, Paul answers in 1 Thessalonians, right? He says, rejoice always, pray continually. Okay, folks, we're done. Time for the offertory. But there's a part of me that really wishes it were that simple. And in many ways, it really is that simple. Pray continuously. Make our lives the gift of prayer. But I don't know about you, but for me, so many of the distractions of life get in the way of praying continuously. You know, my mind starts getting wrapped around other things, you know, like the anxieties of life or things I need to get done or you know, just talking to different people, and I don't pray continuously. So because our lives are not a continuous when of prayer, I'm going to take about the next 20 or 25 minutes to talk about this. And as I told my husband John this morning, I've got a lot. This could be a really long sermon this morning. And you know what he said to me, my good Catholic husband? He said, that's time off of purgatory for everybody, Kathy. So settle back in, because here we go. Let's take a look at some scripture this morning from Luke 21, verses 29 through 36. Jesus told his disciples this parable. Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day, will close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So since this is the fourth Sunday of Lent, we are in Lent, I would like to do just a little bit of a Bible study here as we encounter Scripture. So a little bit about the setting. This is early in Holy Week. It's early in Holy Week, and Jesus is doing some teaching. For those of you who know a little bit about Holy Week and the sequence of events, Jesus is doing some teaching on the temple steps. Here's some things that have already happened before we come to the parable of the fig tree. Jesus has cleansed the table at the temple already in Luke 19. He has challenged the Pharisees and the Sadducees about their focus on rules and rituals rather than loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit and loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus has denounced the scribes. So he's pretty much offended all of the Jewish religious authorities, And he now, as we move through from chapter 19 through into chapters 20 and 21 of Luke, he is now talking about the future, what's going to happen, a future that really is not looking too bright and cheery. Jesus is speaking of war. He's speaking of persecution. He's speaking of the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the coming of the Son of Man, which the Jewish people knew as the Messiah, and of course, the kingdom of God. So then after all of this, Jesus talks and tells the parable of the fig tree and how the blooming of the fig tree will tell them that the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. Salvation, grace, goodness, forgiveness will soon be here with them. And we know the kingdom of God is embodied in Christ, right? Kingdom of God is embodied in Christ's resurrected body. And so he's telling them that this is going to happen. But once he tells them of the good news, he goes on to warn them, and us, of course, that we will suffer tribulation and persecution before the ultimate triumph of the kingdom of God. God wins, right? God always wins. Love wins, always. But there are battles to face in the midst of the ultimate triumph of the kingdom. So Jesus gives his disciples some instructions on what to do when we or the others grow fearful, or when life gets complicated, or when things are not so good, or when the bullies come, or an important relationship is disrupted by conflict, by loss, by death, when illness happens in our lives, you know, when destruction happens, basically those times that define and express the anxiety-provoking times in our lives, when we lose things, when we lose people, when we get sick, when life just isn't going the way we think it should be going. Jesus is warning us that we need to continue to keep watch and keep waiting. Be careful, he says, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that they will close on you suddenly like a trap. And I have this circled in my notes. For it will come to all those who live on the face of the whole earth. It comes to all of us, every single one of us. You know, I have to tell you, I've been here at Clay almost 9 months now. Almost 9 months. And that's not even counting the years before. And as you're pastor of caring and community, I hear lots of stories, and I get to enter into your lives and talk to you about things that are happening in your lives, and the struggles that come, and the illnesses that come, and I get to walk with you through some of those, and not only that, you all get to walk with me through my struggles also, right? I mean, that's what we're all about. We're a church family, and we invite others to be a part of this, because being a part of a church family like this means that we have people around us who can keep us focused on what's right and what's good, and keep us focused on Jesus in those times when our anxieties just want to take over and just want to take us off the path. So maybe the Apostle Paul is right. And Jesus is right. What do you think? Maybe? Of course they're right. Is that our lives are made up of a time to pray continuously. Praying continuously. And I don't know what that looks like for you. And I'm not really sure what it looks like for me. Maybe I'll learn something after I'm done here today. But because we encounter those kinds of things in our lives daily, monthly, yearly, maybe even every minute, we're asked to pray continuously. I'm not really sure. I know where some of you are, some of you that I know better and I've known for a long, long time. I don't know where all of you are in your prayer life. And it's not really for me to know. So, you know, you don't have to go out and we don't have to meet in the cafe this morning. You don't have to tell me exactly where you are in your prayer life. I know you're someplace. But I don't really know where. But this thought of praying continuously might be a new thought for you. Or it might be something that you haven't really considered before. I don't know. You know, I know there's a lot of good scripture readers here at Clay. You've probably encountered it in your reading at some time. But it might be a new place of prayer. And I think that transitional places can be a little frightening. Because sometimes it requires us to let go of what we have known in order to open ourselves to something new. Or it can feel like we're being ripped from some safety or familiar places, because I'm going to ask you to do something a little different this morning, of a known place. And maybe we feel like our roots are dangling in midair. Maybe that fig tree is not really, you know, not really opening up for us so much. We can be left feeling vulnerable and unsure. And that's okay, because God is there with us. So in order to counter a little bit of that today, I've got some practical suggestions about how to pray continuously. And in some ways, I feel like I'm just, you know, preaching to the choir, which I am choir, but also, these are just some practical ways to give you some ideas about how to pray continuously. Practical wends of prayer before meals. That's part of praying continuously. Pray when we're thankful. When the snow finally stops and the weather temperature goes up to 49 or 50 tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be thankful. When we're in need, when we need something, when we need peace, when we need joy, when we need a milkshake, I don't know, but when we're in need and when others are in need. When someone comes up and expresses a need, and this could be part of kind of stepping out of our box in prayer, praying with that person right away, just saying, can we pray? It doesn't have to be fancy or eloquent. And pray when we're tempted. Maybe that's the milkshake analogy, right? When we're tempted. Breath prayers, which is something we're going to do later on throughout the day, to ask for direction. And I'm not necessarily talking about asking direction to your dentist appointment. Ask for direction about how to respond to somebody. Or for me, a lot of times when I most ask for direction, or at least a common time of asking for direction, is when I get ready to make a visit to someone, in the hospital especially. Not really knowing what I'm going to encounter, not really knowing what a person's needs is, I usually pause, usually in my car, and ask God for direction and to be present with me. To ask the Spirit to be with us or another and to help our situations. That kind of goes back to asking for direction for me. Pretty much always. There's so many ways to pray continually. I have really been blessed to get to know a young wife, mother, follower of Jesus in this congregation over the last 9 months. Her name is Beth Doster. Beth serves, I've gotten to know her the best, on our hospital visitation team, one of the caring teams here at Clay. But she's also in a really cool circle, a place where she's known, a place where she's loved, a place where she's supported, and maybe even most important to our spiritual life, a place where she can provide all of that for her fellow circle members. So let's take a look this morning about how Beth prays with when.
I'm Beth Doster, and I am a part of the Women's Circle that meets on Thursday mornings. So a typical circle gathering, we open in prayer, and we share highs and lows, which is great because that gives you a pretty good idea of what you could be praying for. And we also use an app to communicate more urgent prayer needs. So when I get a notification of a prayer request, it's a specific little chime on my phone, and I know that it's someone from my circle, and so I'll sit down and spend some time looking at that and then time in prayer over it. I think being able to pray for one another is a really wonderful gift that God gives us because it takes the focus off me. When I'm praying for other people, I can see what God moving in their life, even sometimes when they can't. And sometimes I think in my own life when I'm praying, when God's not answering exactly like I want him to, it feels like he's not there. But when I'm praying for other people, I can see that. But I think having the group encourages us to have a little bit more accountability to get into God's word each day and to be praying each day. And I know when I feel a little off or I can't get my heart quite in the right place, it's usually because I haven't been spending the time in God's word. So I know for my own life that through prayer and time in God's word every day, it makes a huge difference.
So another way to pray always, set your cell phone and have it chime when a message comes in or at a certain time of the day, and just take a minute and sit back and relax and pray. Thank you, Beth. It's a beautiful video. So in the midst of this praying of when to pray, I want to throw something out at you this morning that maybe sounds a little bit of, you know, like that little weird creative mind of Pastor Kathy's, but I just really think, what? Just listen to this for a minute. What if our lives become a prayer? What if we are so connected to God, so yearning for God's connection to us, so desire through God's gift, this is all God's gift, to be in a 24/7 kind of connection with God. What if we find so many whens and so many ways to pray that it just becomes natural, it becomes freeing, it becomes full of grace and hope and love? What if our lives literally become a prayer? And there's a fancy name for this kind of process. We call it in the theological world, you know, going on to perfection, going on to completion. Jesus talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6. And the Greek word there is teleos, and I like to translate it as completeness because we're human. But what if our lives could be complete prayer? Completely enveloped in God's love and God's grace and God's goodness and completely moving into God's will for our lives. Another fancy word for this is called sanctification. It's really, John Wesley calls it having the mind of Christ. And we do that in so many ways, but with prayer as our cornerstone. What if we could be in constant contact with Jesus all the time? Now, over these past 20 years of ministry, I have gotten to know some really amazing people, and so many of you are here at Clay. I've gotten to know some people whose lives really are a prayer. And I want to tell you about one of those people this morning. Her name is Sadie Major. And there might be a couple of people here who might remember Sadie. I see a nod. I'm not surprised. I see a nod from Bob Kistler from times past. But she was just one of the most lovely people I had ever met in my life. She was a member over at St. Paul's Church, my student pastorate, which I was at for 6 years, over on the west side of South Bend. And she was an amazing woman. She had the best stories. She was outspoken. She was kind. And she was full of life experiences and suffering in her life. She had a lot of suffering. She used to tell me these stories, and I don't know, it seemed like back then, or maybe because the congregation was so small, I was really able to get to know folks really, really well. But she used to tell me the stories, and she had so many stories about her passage to the United States from England as a small child, seeing the Statue of Liberty for the first time, going through the immigration process at Ellis Island. She used to talk about owning a small grocery store on the west side of South Bend. She and her husband, Ted, owned this grocery store. It was called Major's IGA Supermarket, and it was on Lincoln Way West from 1939 to 1967. But one of the major stories in Sadie's life that she talked about so much was her struggle, and mostly her husband's struggle, of 20 years with Alzheimer's disease. Now think back, I haven't really done the math, but if the store closed in 1967, that 20 years probably was starting somewhere in the late 60s. And I'm not sure when Ted passed, but they struggle with Alzheimer's. And can you imagine the bewilderment that was happening? I mean, she spoke of it. She spoke of that bewilderment, wondering what has changed in his behavior. I mean, she couldn't understand his forgetfulness and some of the other changes that come about with Alzheimer's. And back then, there weren't really no memory care units to send people to. So Sadie took care of Ted for 20 years as she at the home. As she tried to figure out what was going on. Now, they finally had a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, but for years and years, she wondered what was happening to her beloved husband. Now, I heard these stories from Sadie in many different settings, you know, sometimes after church over a cup of coffee, sometimes it maybe after a meeting. But the ones I remember the best is when Sadie would invite me out to her home, and I can't picture what street it was on, but I can picture the home, and she had these beautiful gardens of lilies. I mean, she probably had five or six of these huge, big gardens of lilies, and she'd give them to me every once in a while, and I'd take some and I'd plant them back in the parsonage yard, which was about this big. But in the midst of those lilies, Sadie would talk to me about how much she loved God, how much prayer was a part of her life, and then, but especially when Ted was going through what he was going through when she was taking care of him, how connected she felt to God when she was out in the garden. I'm not really sure. I mean, it's not my judgment, it's God's, but I'm thinking maybe Sadie was that woman of continual prayer. You know, in 1981, after Ted passed, she started the first support groups for caregivers of Alzheimer's patients. In 1982, Sadie founded the Alzheimer's and Dementia Services of Northern Indiana, which became the first Alzheimer's agency in the state. Sadie's fig tree bloomed after her tribulation of 20 years. Her leaves sprouted, and as our scripture tells us this morning, when we see these things happening, we know that the kingdom of God is near. As I heard Sadie's story and listened to her love for God, as I watched her head bowed in prayer every single Sunday morning in worship, as I experienced through my relationship and my observations of her behavior toward prayer and faith, I realized that she lived a life of prayer. And because of that prayer time, she made it through those 20 years of caretaking for her husband at home. And through the power of prayer, her fig tree bloomed. And the kingdom of God came near, not just for her, but for so many people who struggle with this horrible disease called Alzheimer's, and for those who support them through it. Thank you, God, for Sadie. Thank you, God, for prayer. Thank you, God, for a relationship that can bear fruit and leaves and bring your kingdom closer. We are in the season of Lent, my friends, a time we prepare our hearts and minds to truly celebrate and welcome Easter Sunday morning. A time that we prepare so that we can truly know the joy of Christ's resurrection in our lives, right? Lent isn't really a time, really isn't really about a time of giving up something. I mean, it's a good thing for the discipline, but the giving up is really so that we can get more of God into our lives, right? We choose to have less of something so that we can encounter more of Christ. It's ridding those things that clutter our minds and our hearts and our spirits so that God's goodness and God's kingdom can enter into us and we can move toward a more completeness. And what a perfect time, thank you, Pastor Brian, for a sermon series on prayer so that we can continue to practice and deepen our relationship with Jesus and to attend to those spiritual disciplines like prayer. So I'd like for all of you to take out, if you have it with you this morning, if not, don't worry about it, your Let's Pray Lenten study guide. And if you take a look at today, Sunday, March 31st, it has a big when on the front of it. But it also has memorized these breath prayers. So for those of you who don't have it this morning, we pretty much have all the breath prayers up on the screen this morning. And breath prayers are really a way of entering into a prayerful state with God that clears our hearts and our minds and our souls and our spirits. And they're really easy to do, but they do take a little bit of concentration. So we're going to do some practicing because it really is a way to really just kind of enter back into God's presence when we feel, I don't know, anxious or excited or distracted. And basically what I'm going to have you do this morning, and I'd say we have about maybe 3 or 4 minutes here to do it, is to choose one of the breath prayers. All right, we've got three there, and there's a couple more, I think, on the next slide. Choose one of the breath prayers and bow your heads, and we're gonna get really silent this morning. So, for instance, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Breathe in on thy kingdom come. Breathe out on thy will be done. And just continue to do that in a repetitive way. Now, we've got, I don't know, 3-4 minutes. I'm going to be timing, but I will tell you this. It's going to get really quiet in here. For those of you who are uncomfortable with quiet, get used to it. It's going to get really prayer-filled in here, and you might just hear the Holy Spirit wrapping his arms around us as we pray. All right, so let's take some time. Choose your breath prayer. And let's go to God in prayer.